Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes,
yippee,
is presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products on 1010XL. Now your hosts, Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, Amanda Borges, and Blythe Brumley.
Happy Tuesday, everybody, and it is the first Tuesday after college football season started, and also the last Tuesday before the NFL will start. Blythe, the excitement is exuding from you. I think, you know how they say pregnant women are glowing. I think you have the glow. You have the football glow. I think I had it for college football last week, and I think you have the NFL football glow this week.
Well, I think once you get, like, the first full weekend of college football under your belt, it's just kind of like a little bit of a tradition, and then you look forward to a whole weekend of nothing but real football. Well, really Thursday through Monday. It's not really a weekend anymore.
Yeah, well, to me, it's like, and Amanda, I know it's a little different when you do have to work a lot of the events because it descends upon you and there's no turning back.
Right. I mean,
between high school football, which have you had a full game yet or no?
Nope. I don't know if I have this curse that I bring with me, but I've only done two games because the third or the game in between the last game, there was a Jags game and I had to work that instead. So I do sideline reporting for Bishop Kenny and last game, so this past Friday, they played one half, and then there was a lightning delay. We waited around for about an hour and a half, and then they decided to call the rest of the game. And that happened my very first game, too. We played a half, and that was it. So people are starting to blame me for that. Not really sure why, but I'm going to accept the blame.
Lightning in a bottle?
I guess. I don't know what it is, but I'm hoping that goes away because I'd like to get a full high school game in. So we'll see.
Now, so when I did it, we did a lot of texting back and forth in order to communicate between the booth upstairs and you on the field. How are you handling it?
There's no texting. there's just, hey, I have an update. I give an update, and that's about it. Sometimes if there's not, you know, when you don't do silent reporting, I feel like you wonder, well, how do they know? Or, like, how do they know when the silent reporter wants to say something? Or, like, what if nothing happens in the game and then you have nothing to talk about? That's my fear. You know what I mean? Like,
no
nothing
injuries.
Happens. Yeah. Right. Which I don't want there to be injuries, but part of my job is to talk about that. And most injuries aren't anything serious, which is great. But this past game, we really just talked about weather updates. You know, like, what's going on down there? Well, saw some lightning in the distance, but so far we're all good. Just hanging in there, waiting for them to call the game because of lightning, but they are not calling this game. I'm kind of just giving a weather update. And then interviewing Coach Thorson at halftime. And I haven't done a post-game interview yet, so hopefully this week that will happen.
Funny story. So I did a post-game interview last year with Charles Wade. He was one of the receivers.
Okay.
That was fantastic. And now he is at Wake Forest with John Wolford, who used to be the quarterback at Bishop Kenny. So now they're reunited together again. But what's funny is, so I asked him, he was the player that I interviewed after the game, and I asked him a question, and he goes, "No, sir. I mean, ma'am." And he got so flustered, we had to, like, stop the interview and so that I could be like, "Dude, it's perfectly fine. Like, you did not offend me at all." But he just felt so bad about it. Aww. So, like, even after we finished, he was like, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." You know, and I wanted to make a joke, but I didn't want to, like, you know, make him feel bad. But I wanted to be like, "Is it the polo?" You know, since we have those lovely polos that
they're
we get
beautiful.
To wear. They are beautiful. But all right. Let's get to some studs and duds, and we are missing Donna again this week. I know she wishes she could be here with us. She has some other stuff she had to get done, so we will hopefully have her here with us next week. This is the first time we've been in the studio, it seems, for a while.
I know. A long time.
Yeah.
I feel like we've had so many field trips. It's kind of nice to be home for once. Home base.
Next week.
This is technically home for the last time tonight until the end of the season. We will be producing the show live. Well, I get to do the producing part from the Everbank part, as Scott does the producing part from here.
Yeah.
Next week live at Everbank Field. And, well, not really the field. More like the radio studio inside the stadium. But
the stadium,
that should
be
fun.
And it's been a while.
It has been a long time, right? And it's fun because we get this big glass window and we get to see a bunch of people go by. So we'll see Gus or we'll see Dave or, you know, players. So not that that's exciting for you, Amanda.
It's like, I just talked to you. I had myself a moment last year, though, to see, like, Gus Bradley, like, walking by. And I'm like, this is my job? I was just a fan 6 months ago.
Right? I know. It's cool. Okay, so studs and duds for the weekend.
Amanda, are you going to make me go first so I can't piggyback?
Yes. I was gonna either say you should go first or you should go last. But no, you get to go first with your stud over the weekend. And just so people know, this can be anyone who had a great success in either college or pro in theory. That's how we'll do it. But for this week, obviously, there was only college really to focus on. So let's hear your stud.
Well, this is I'm having to swallow a little bit of pride here because I'm really not an Ohio State fan, but they're just so loaded this year, and Braxton Miller just completely blew me away when I was watching him last night. There's one catch that really stood out to me. I'm sure it stood out to you too, and now I can't remember exactly which catch it was, but that makes him a stud. He was just on fire last night, and I was kind of questioning whether he could play wide receiver after he's been a quarterback, but it works for him. My dud is not exactly a player, but it's a coach because it encompasses the team, and that is Jim Harbaugh. He's been the talk of, you know, the off season of college football, making the transition from the NFL, and it was just not good.
Yeah, did you watch any of that game?
A little bit, and then it was so much of a dud that I just couldn't. It didn't hold my attention.
I can understand that. Blythe?
My stud is kind of playing off of Braxton Miller, but that spin move that we saw in the middle of the game, but it wasn't just the spin move. It was the block by Ezekiel Elliott that it was a decleater block, and it was probably one of the best blocks I've ever seen. And I think he had another just one carry during that game for 80 yards and a touchdown. So I think that's pretty good night to average 80 yards for one carry.
It's a pretty good way to start off your Heisman campaign for 2015.
I was hearing on the radio earlier that there's three potential Heisman candidates for Ohio State. So that offense is just loaded. For my dud of the weekend, though, they weren't college or pros, but they were in high school. There's two San Antonio high school players who hit a defenseless ref in the middle of a game, and apparently instructed by their 23-year-old coach to do so after, I guess, some calls didn't go their way. There's also rumors of possibly some racial slurs that the ref used, but just to have two players just to tackle a ref in the open field, I thought was despicable. So that's my dud of the
weekend. That's a good, really good dud.
Yeah, that is.
Stud wise, I'll go close to home and I'll go with Will Grier. I just thought that he went out and showed that he has it under control. Treon Harris played well as well for the Gators, but to me, Will Grier just looked like he's in command of that offense. And it makes me, of course, really happy because we haven't had that much offense in a long time. And I was telling Amanda before the show started, so my mom and I had this tradition, and even though she was out of town, I tried to carry it on, of doing push-ups for every point that we score, right? Like if we're at home, you know, it's just something silly. Not obviously if we're at the game, we're not like on the ground. Like, one push-up per point.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I got to the point where once we had scored 44
points. So you didn't
really
have that many arm muscles last season.
Right, exactly. That's what I blamed.
You had such weak arms.
My muscle atrophy on was the Gators' weak offense. That's 100% correct.
Well, you could have just come to my house for the four state games. I would have helped you with that.
You're right. You could have. And you could have sat on my back for ours because there were so few. But so I got to like 44 points. So I do it like if we score 7 and then 14 and then 21 and then, you know, like it gets to the point where it's a little bit of a chore. And so I got to 44 and I was like, all right, I'm done. I can't do anymore. I'm sorry. So luckily we kept scoring.
44, that's a lot of push-ups.
Yeah, so it was
in a row. Like
you
they score a touchdown, they get 7 points, you do 7 push-ups, and then they get to 14 points,
you
do 14 push-ups?
Yes.
Do you do girl push-ups?
I don't.
Or boy push-ups?
I do boy push-ups. But here, I will give y'all a little bit of inside information. I don't do perfect push-ups after the first, usually 10 to 15. Usually by then it's like, everyone's like, oh, you know, your back's kind of creeping up, or your back's going too low, or you're not going low enough, or you need to pick your head up, you know,
tired.
And it's like, yeah, exactly. You get all this in your ear and you're like, I just want to be done. So anyway, that was a fun Saturday night because we scored a lot of points for the first time in a long time. And then I'm going to give my dud to Penn State's James Franklin. Yeah. I just could not believe that they got beat by Temple, especially with how great of a success he had built at Vanderbilt. And I'm sure Fat Tony was not happy with his game that night. Thursday night, we tweeted about that a little bit because they had some chances and blew it against Western Kentucky. But anyway, so that's going to be my dud is Penn State's James Franklin. There could have been a lot more duds out there, too. But, you know, Charlie Strong at Texas, what are you guys doing over there? But whatever, my team won, and that's all I'm concerned about. All right, so we are Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. Want to say thank you again to them for such an awesome event last week at the home right outside of the stadium. And we will be doing more live events from there over the next few months. So we'll keep you posted and keep on the lookout for those. So that way, you know, when you can join us, because that's a pretty sweet VIP experience. Free food. The food is amazing. Free drinks as well. All right, coming up, we are going to get to some hot topics. So stay tuned to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 10XL 92.5 FM.
Make it a strong one. We're gonna have some fun tonight.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
This is my favorite band of all time, Zac Brown Band. Leave the world behind. And I could just stop talking and just listen to the entire song. As y'all know, I could.
I don't think we did that.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we did. I actually was reminded of this very song because I went to Tampa this weekend and I drove back this morning. And I listened to the whole Zac Brown Band album.
Love it.
And I played the song like 5 times.
This is
so
probably,
it's only fitting that I asked for the 6th time tonight.
Absolutely. This is probably one of my favorites off that new
CD.
Especially for people who don't love country, this is definitely one of those kind of like crossover songs,
right.
Island vibe to it. Mm-hmm. There are songs though that I can't listen to. Yeah,
it is Jimmy Buffett. Yeah.
Said from the guy who's wearing a very Jimmy Buffett-like shirt, as a matter of fact. There are certain songs though that I don't want to listen to unless I'm in like that relaxed mood.
Yeah. Because I want to like cry or something.
Right. Well, I'll hear it and be like, ugh. I'm going to a meeting or, you know, whatever it is. Going to work. So welcome to Helmets and Heels on a Tuesday. By the way, because we normally have Mondays to show, prep, and plan, I woke up this morning and I knew there was going to be an email that was like,
what are we doing?
And so I was waiting for it. And so I was really glad that you, Blythe, sent out some topics. I knew that we'd have plenty of stuff to talk about for our first ever 2-hour show, not live on location, if you can follow all of that. But it's still always good to get that email chain going. So speaking of show prep, Amanda, you have no idea what we're about to talk about.
No, but it's totally fine.
Yeah, you know, you'll be good weighing in. Okay, so there's a Michigan fan. So Jim Harbaugh may be a dud,
right.
But this Michigan fan is not. He left a waitress a $3,000 tip.
Holy cow.
On a $500 bill.
On a $500 bill, which, I mean, you make that face like, wow, that's hard to spend. But let's say you had 20 people out to watch a game and you're there for like five hours, you know, it can easily, especially if
food and drink for 20 people.
Especially if like you tell people, hey, it's on me.
Right.
That bill gets jacked up quickly, I would assume. But so Blythe, you've had some experience in the service industry. What was either the biggest tip you've ever been left or kind of the opposite?
Wait, you didn't finish explaining. Why did they leave this tip? Just because?
So there's this campaign on Instagram, and it's, what is it?
Tips for Jesus.
Tips for Jesus, yeah. And so they try and give it to someone, I guess, that it seems like they need it, but I don't know how they figured out.
So, like, paying it forward.
Yeah, basically. But I don't know how they figured out that this girl needed it.
Well, I think...
Just because she was working hard.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're a waitress, like, you're either in the industry because you're usually in college or you're younger, you need, you know, that extra cash, or you're a seasoned veteran, so you've been there, you're not leaving the game, you're staying in it for life. But this particular person, this campaign is called Tips for Jesus. They've left tips all over the country. I think they left as much as $11,000 for a tip in Arizona. So it's a national campaign, and it's just a really cool story to see, especially in light of, I think there was a story a couple weeks ago where a server was stiffed on a tip after the table waited over an hour for their food, but they were warned ahead of time that it was busy, it's going to take a long time to get your food, and the waitress was still stiffed. So that really angered me. Anytime a waitress is stiffed, it obviously angers me because I've been in the industry. I was in the industry for 8 years, served a variety of roles, so I've seen my share of really great tips, and I've seen my share of really awful tips. One in particular, I remember working on Easter Sunday. I wasn't living in Jacksonville at the time, so I would never normally work on a holiday, but I said, oh, okay, well, I'll work on Easter Sunday. And the restaurant's dead because obviously people eat at home on Easter. So I waited on this table of like 18 people, and I'm thinking I'm the only person who actually like has a table that large. So I'm thinking I'm actually going to do pretty decent for the day. It's Easter. They'll probably tip a little bit extra, especially if I take care of them. No, they stiffed me. And it was,
what?
I mean, it was
18 people.
I can't remember the exact amount of the bill, but a stiff is a stiff. And at the end of the night, like, a lot of people don't realize, like, for waitresses, you have to tip out the rest of the staff. So not only are you getting, you know, $2 to $3 an hour for your pay, but then you have to tip out the hostesses who seat you, the busboys who clean your tables, the bartenders who make your drinks. Some restaurants even require you to tip the back kitchen staff, like the cooks and the additional prep people. So that was additional money that I had to pay out based on my total sales for the night. So I actually lost money on that. And that's the way a lot of restaurants are structured, where you might think that, oh, well, I'm tipping 18% and that's good enough. No, it's not good enough. 20% should be the minimum on everything. And actually, it should be a little bit more due to inflation and just, you know, quality of the service that you get. But it is a big misunderstanding when something like that happens, where you do get stiffed. But it's always great to see stories like this where people actually go above and beyond to take care of someone who is probably only making a few dollars an hour.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that you should do more than 20%. I do it occasionally, but I almost always, the math is so much easier when you do 20%. So I just almost always do that.
Well, when I waited tables 10 years ago, it was 20%. So now it should obviously be a little bit more. So I always try to tip about 25%, way more if the service is good. I think I leave my fair share of good tips.
Okay, so if you have a waitress that's terrible, what do you do then?
There's a lot of factors that go involved if a waitress is terrible. Is the
like her customer service is terrible, the food was fine.
And you can typically tell, like, someone that where it's not their fault, they will apologize, they'll do whatever they can to make up for it, and then there are people who really don't care, and you can tell.
Right. And I think that that's a big difference. If you don't care, you shouldn't be in that profession.
Right.
And you should tip. I still think you should tip the minimum on it. You should never stiff them, because their hours and their pay depend on what you make or depend on what you're spending. But I think if a waitress is horrible, then I think you should take it to the manager. You should get your food comped. But if it just happens where she's just having a bad night and she's just not super friendly, you still tip the minimum.
Okay.
That's what I think.
What if you're terrible at math and you're not trying to be mean, but you accidentally leave a really bad tip?
Well, they have this thing called cell phones, and they have calculators on cell phones.
Right, so there's no excuse, right?
People used to, calculators on cell phones, people would bring in, like, these little cards, and it would list the tips.
My friend has one.
They're awful. Burn them all. They are so terrible.
I think I need one of those.
No, you don't.
No, it's so easy. Well, the 20% is easy, because you take the bill. Let's say it's $10. You times it by two, $20. Your tip's $2.
No, I get it. I totally get it, okay? My question was just because when I was younger, a young gal, I was
because you're such an old gal now.
I was terrible with math, and this was when we had flip phones. Like, I guess I did have a calculator on my phone. Regardless, this is so terrible, and I apologize if this ever happened to you, but, like, I didn't know that there was a minimum tip. And maybe that's my fault. I mean, my parents raised me better than that, so I don't know why I didn't know that. And my go-to tip was just always $2. Like, that was just my go-to. And I never was like, oh, you were terrible, $2. I was just like, oh, thanks, like, two, like, bye. Like, that was just my thing. And now looking back, I am mortified because I probably should not have done that.
There's another tip, too. If you are tipping on a bill and say you have a coupon, like all the Teal Deals just went out last week, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be using them at restaurants.
Me.
You tip on that full amount before your discount, because we're not getting
– true.
Or I say we I'm still a server. But servers do not get a portion of
the
entire bill. You should tip on the entire bill, not the discounted bill.
But you don't have to tip on sales tax.
No, you don't.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Just making sure I have it right. Yeah. I'm starting to learn – different things where you have to just tip them in general. Like, I definitely have used, like, different services in life that I never tipped for.
Yep.
And I'm now like, oh,
gosh, they
think was I supposed to tip you
the biggest
something?
Brat. Yeah, like,
I know,
like, the, you know, the front people at the airport that take your bags, like, you're definitely supposed to leave a tip.
I had one guy who was rude about that. I had no idea about that rule, and I showed up, and he's, oh, can I take your bag for you? And he takes the bag, and then he's like, tips are appreciated as I was walking away. And I was like, okay, here's $5. Like, I had no idea. And
I didn't have any cash on me.
That's my problem. I never have cash ever. And that's such a I mean, that's my thing. I should fix that. But that's my excuse. That's so terrible. And I don't do it on purpose to be like, haha, I don't have cash. I just don't. And so then I'm like, well, sorry. Would you like a piece of gum? Well.
speaking of new things and purchases and all that, did you get a new car?
Maybe.
That's very exciting. I knew you were going to over the weekend, and so when I got here, I was like, yeah, I don't see Amanda's old car.
Did you see my new car?
I don't know. I think so. White?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. I got it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give away your plate number or anything.
It's a white Tesla, for those who are wondering. I only spent like $100,000 on it. That's
wait, seriously?
No.
How much are they paying you here?
Are you kidding me?
Now, do you tip your car salesman? I'm just kidding.
I didn't.
Kidding. All right, so another hot topic over the weekend. Tom Brady's dad had a little rant on a radio show. And for those who haven't listened to it, I don't know that it's worth going to it and listening, spending all 5 minutes listening. But it certainly is fun to listen to for a little bit. And he says things like flaming liar, which I loved that terminology. Like, I don't think that's exactly what he meant, but
kangaroo
regardless.
Kangaroo court was another
and yeah,
one.
Kangaroo court, which... All right, you're just upset. We all get it. But his heated tone of voice, did you agree, Blythe, with the way he was approaching it? I mean, he obviously was very frustrated on this radio call about Deflategate.
Well, I think the opening of the radio host was really, really harsh, especially that kind of tone to take. And if you want to go and Google it, you can listen to it for yourself and judge for yourself. But I would personally be offended if I was Tom Brady Sr. and I'm calling into a radio station and that's the way you present me. So, of course, he's going to start off a little bit heated. But I think it's a really good look into what Brady and company and Tom Brady Jr. I didn't even know he was a junior before this, but I think it's a really good look into his personal feelings, because Tom Brady's not going to talk about this. He's the consummate professional. He's going to, you know, I'm looking forward to the next full week of football and the season, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, the Belichick way.
Right. But I think it's a really good look at to what Tom Brady personally has probably discussed with his father, that
absolutely.
This has been a big PR battle the entire way, that it's been based on lies and manipulation. And I just think it's fascinating to watch from the outside looking in.
I would say that I had to think about my own parent, you know, and if it was me getting attacked and my dad calling into a radio station, he would have been the exact same way. My daughter is innocent. You know, don't listen to these things. The NFL handled this improperly, you know, yada, yada, yada.
That's why I wasn't surprised with the way he handled it, because, like you said, almost any parent will defend their child. Even Billy Ray Cyrus is proud of his daughter, Miley Cyrus.
Proud of the money.
He used the word proud on the red carpet. Okay, that's just horrendous. But I don't know. I feel like you said, if someone's attacked, if they feel attacked, then they're just going to come out of the gate just defending themselves, especially when it's their son who's in the spotlight.
Who's dealt with a lot of the stress over this.
Right.
Yeah, because he made the point in the call. He's like, you know, the first time Tom Brady said he was clear of anything, you know, any wrongdoing was March 28th. So, you know, my son has had to deal with this for 6 months now.
And I'm sure he calls his dad to vent.
Oh, absolutely.
And be like, oh my gosh, today was awful. My lawyers did this. Roger did
this.
This
person's
blah, blah,
sketch
blah.
Of me was awful, Dad.
Don't look at it.
Anything like that guy. I look like a GQ model.
Do I look like that?
I mean, Dad, how could this get any worse?
You know that was made into a skirt? You can buy that skirt now that Tom
No, you cannot.
Sketch, I swear. And now that woman is going to sell it. They reportedly over $1 million.
Did you know that woman who drew it didn't even know who Tom Brady was?
No.
She didn't even know.
How is that possible?
She's been on some famous cases, though, like the Martha Stewart case. She's been, like, the sketch artist, like, a whole, like, I think it was another, like, a Mike Tyson case that she was also the sketch artist for.
They had her on, Good Morning America or Today, and she literally was like, I had no idea who he was. I was just doing my job, like, drawing. Even if you don't know who he is, that doesn't look anything like him. That could be Joe Schmo off the street. That doesn't look anything like him.
She said that Patriots fans were, like, attacking.
Yeah!
Him. Sketch came out. There was, like, Sketch Gate.
I feel like Donna, if she was here right now, would be, like, flabbergasted that anyone in America does not know who Tom Brady is. And by the way, she is listening. She texted us earlier. Her stud, and you can come up with your dud later on, D. Murph, but her stud, of course, is Johnny Wolford, I mentioned.
Yeah.
Quarterback at Wake Forest. He had a great game over the weekend. So you would have gotten to cover him had you been here, and I didn't get to cover him either, but does not
mean
any less respectful.
I've heard many a things because...
Johnny Football.
Yeah, Bishop Kenny has...
Good one.
...has changed drastically, and so the main things people are saying is, oh, well, Johnny Wolford's not here anymore, and all these people, so...
Absolutely.
I've heard it.
All right. Well, we want to talk some college football, and that will be coming up next. If you haven't heard of gridironnow.com, we will tell you about that as well, because it's a great site that you can check out our one and only Amanda Borges on. That's all coming up next on Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010XL and 2.5 FM.
Late in the evening.
Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Ignoring everybody here. Helmets and Heels. Built by Dreamfinders Home. Every Tuesday night now from 7 to 9. That's right. You get us for 2 hours.
Woo-hoo!
Whether we're in studio or live on location. Speaking of live on location, we will be out at Broadway Ristorante and Pizzeria September 22nd.
Do we get pizza?
If you want pizza, you can also get salads or subs or
good
wine.
Food. Really good.
Delicious food.
Ooh,
love the
I'm
owner.
So excited.
So much fun. Yeah. Last year, that was the show that we had Will Blackman on. And which, by the way, I just saw he got cut by the Seahawks. I was sad to see that. But not too surprising either.
Mm-hmm.
It's always sad when you see, like, someone that you feel like you know. I mean, I don't know him that well, but,
yeah.
You know, we got to hang out with him a few times. I saw him in the locker room a few times as well. And then, like, I'm sure you know him, Dustin Hopkins, my cousin's husband's, one of his best friends
mm-hmm.
got cut from the Saints.
He
did? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's that time of year where there's a lot of sad faces. There's a lot of families wondering where they're going to go. And, you know, it's
not fun.
It's not fun at all. And it's something that collegiate football gets to avoid. All right,
hey,
Amanda.
Wait, I had
yeah,
to
come
bring
on
this up. So because people are saying that I'm cursed with whatever for the weather, I've realized
lightning in a bottle.
Right. Our show is not cursed because every player we've had on. Is still with the team this year. Right.
Yes, and that actually is
even
not
rookies.
The case for last year. I think we ended up having one person on that got cut, maybe? Or no, it wasn't got cut. They just didn't play as, or they got hurt, or they didn't get to play
Toby.
As much as, Toby. There was a couple other ones.
Cecil.
Yeah, Cecil, yeah. They got hurt after they were on our show. So, but it wasn't us. Obviously.
Well, I know it's not us, but I just wanted to reinforce.
No, yeah, you're right.
It's definitely not me or us at all.
Are you trying to say it's really Blaylock's fault? Justin
no,
Blaylock's fault
but
if
you're going to say it.
It can be.
No.
You said breaking news.
Breaking news.
All right. So college football is back. I kicked off the weekend by watching all of South Dakota, North Carolina Thursday night.
Yep.
Saturday was watching game day. I don't know. Did you guys? I know, Blythe, you went camping, so you didn't exactly get to see it.
Oh, how dare you?
I know. You should have seen at one point, like, one person had, like, one bar, and so he created, like, a Wi-Fi hotspot for us. And so we're all huddled around. Like, I got off, like, a couple Snapchats, and that was about it as far as our cell service. I saw the Louisville-Auburn game score, and that was about all we got.
Which was a decent game, I will say. But so the Samantha Ponder is, as y'all know, one of my favorite people live, even though I don't know her.
Yep.
I feel like I do. Mm-hmm. And she has this adorable segment with little kids on there, and she has her daughter on there.
So I missed that. I'm so sad.
I'm sure that they've got it somewhere on somewhere that you can find.
Right.
Because I know what I missed was the Polish kicker that is now at Alabama. I missed that story.
Yes. That was a cry.
But that's what I was told, that I would cry. And I was like, okay, I'm good. I don't want to cry.
It was really
I was hanging out with some guy friends of mine, and I came back inside, and they both said they cried.
Well, the kicker was the same guy who hit it to the Auburn, and then Auburn, you know, returned it from, you know, with 1 second left. That was the same kicker.
Yes.
And he was like an orphan in Poland, mm-hmm. and like 12 mm-hmm. years old. And then just an American family is just like, you know, we saw that he was a little bit troubled, so we just decided to adopt him. Like, it's such a great thing mm-hmm. to do. Like, how do you just say, like, I see a troubled kid, a teenager, no less. Like,
yeah. Right. No, it makes you, I think, at least for a lot of people, consider adoption, right? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many kids out there. But, and then I guess he got to meet, his parents got
he
to see what
he
does. He
went back to Poland, and he got to meet his parents, and his parents, they were crying. They were like, you're the most successful one out of all of our kids, and, you know, just don't forget about us. And he's like, I won't. He's like, I'm going to continue to come back and see you guys. Like, it gives me goosebumps.
Me too, and I didn't even watch it.
Yeah.
I'll cry for sure, because Tom Rinaldi's just a genius.
Tom Rinaldi is probably one of my favorites.
And
he's
also,
right now.
I know he has, and I don't know if you got to see after the fact, Chris Fowler kind of said his goodbye to game day, which was really poignant, and at one point Lee Corso was crying.
Aww.
So then I was crying, and I was like, I'm really glad I didn't see the other human interest story, because too much. All right,
it was good.
GridironNow.com launched on Friday, and what will you be doing for the website?
We will be doing weekly video segments on GridironNow.com, and I'm hosting a segment with Frank Frangie called Ask Frank.
And, I love it.
It's fun. So we'll kind of go through the East and the West, and we'll talk about, you know, what Frank thinks about this and that, and who's who where, and how are they doing, and are they living up to expectations? Are they doing worse? Are they doing better?
Do you get to ask any fun, silly questions, or is it all football?
You know, so far it's been all seriousness. But I think, you know, I'm gonna squeeze in a couple funny ones here and there, and I think I'm going to catch him off guard.
Yeah. I mean, and they can still be
unless he's listening, and then he'll just be ready for it.
Yeah. He might be home by now. I think we're good.
Okay, good.
that website will have a ton of SEC information.
Tons of SEC content. Yeah. So the video that I'm doing, they're just weekly segments. They're also doing this really funny video segment. I want to say that they're calling it Unnecessary Roughness. I'm pretty sure. And Mackenzie Thurkill is hosting it, and she's our high school reporter, and she does such a great job. It's kind of like, I can't think of the name of a segment, where, like, you'll take a story and you, like, give us a funny spin on it.
Okay.
You know, so some player, like, peed in public and got arrested after, it was an Arkansas player who peed in public and, like, got in trouble.
Awesome.
And whatever. I don't know. Regardless, those are really funny. So check out gridironnow.com. Lots of content. There are lots of writers too, and they're fantastic. So I was excited.
Lots
of content.
Yeah. I was excited because I got followed back today by Gridiron Now.
Ooh.
I know, right? Which, by the way,
you know you've made it when?
Speaking of, not making it. Chad Scott, who of course is always listening to our show, said that when you cheat on your form, going back to my push-ups, you cheat on yourself. Stay. Ooh. And instead of saying the word strong, he put in the bicep, you know, the arm bicep emoji. So thanks a lot, Chad. Not all of us can be award-winning weightlifting competitors. I'm just trying to do at least a little something during the football game. But
seriously.
So watched Thursday night, Saturday, watched game day, mm-hmm. watched all through the day. Saturday night, of course, watched the Gators. Tried to watch some of the Florida State game. Couldn't watch as much of that because I also wanted to watch Wisconsin, Alabama.
Right.
And then, of course, last night, Ohio State, dang it, and Virginia Tech.
That was such a good game.
It was a good game. You knew, though, that Ohio State was going to win. From the moment it began.
But there was, like, a little glimmer of hope in the first half. You know?
Sure, sure.
When it went to halftime, you were like, wow, okay, all right, they're in it. They can do this. And then, bam.
I think it's because having had Urban as a coach for, 4 years or so, it's just, I can't, like, I just... I can root against him, but I can't forget how great of a coach he is, you know, from he's just so detailed from the offense to special teams and everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah, having Braxton Miller,
well, they're just
Who's supposed to be a Heisman quarterback last year before he gets hurt, and then having not one but two quarterbacks able to step up in his stead, it's ridiculous.
Do you think that's a good idea that he's not going with one guy as a starter?
I mean, I think he'll mainly have Cardale Jones as the starter. I think that he probably played JT Barrett some A because he didn't need Cardale in there the whole time, but B, Cardale had that kind of head issue pain-wise, and so he had to be taken to the hospital last week. So I think he just wanted to make sure he didn't do too much with him. But I think as the season goes on, you'll see almost exclusively Cardale unless they're up by a ton again.
Did you think it was going to be Cardale before the game started?
This time I didn't because of the issues that he had medically. Mm-hmm. I thought for sure he'd start JT Barrett and Cardale would kind of be the backup. So I was surprised. And that whole close to the vest thing, if I was a media person in Columbus, Ohio, I would be so annoyed.
But why does Urban care about that?
He doesn't at all. Right. Of course not. I'm just saying as someone like, you know, if the Jags didn't know who they were starting and it wasn't released until they ran on the field, as a media person, it's frustrating because you're Absolutely. Trying to do your job, which is to put information out there. So, but that's classic Urban.
You know? Just makes us talk about it more. Well, who's it going to be? I don't know. And then as soon as you know, you kind of just stop talking about it. So yeah. I think that's kind of why he does it too.
It would have been hilarious if he had run Braxton Miller out there as a starting quarterback and then only played him as wide receiver the rest of the time. And then like
that would
changing
have
it
just
up.
Been more of him playing to the game though.
Sure.
Like the game of guessing, not the football game. But I don't really like the two quarterback situation. I don't think it sets your receivers up for success. They right. have to learn and get comfortable with two different quarterbacks.
Gotta be that chemistry there that they exactly. develop, knowing that there's one guy that's the leader of the team. That's why it was confusing to me. It's like, why haven't you named
right.
your starter yet moving forward? I mean, I understand injuries happen and all that jazz, but at the same time, like, you want the entire team to look at one guy as your leader.
Isn't it so sad, though? I know that this isn't sad because that's just how it works. So, Ohio State is just loaded, okay? And they play Virginia Tech, a team where Michael Brewer actually yep. played so well, okay? And then he gets injured, and now their backup is not that great. And Ohio State has, like, 17 quarterbacks, and Vontek's like, can we just, you know, like, do you want to come over and, like,
trade
helmet. Yeah, we'll just play around for a little.
And it's the saddest thing is, like, you never want to see those injuries that are going to require surgery. And I don't know if you've ever hurt
your collarbone. Drives me nuts.
Like, I had a friend, a soccer teammate in high school who broke her collarbone. And it's like, it's that like snapping. It's horrendous. Ugh. It's like, to me, just up there with the ACL, MCL, when mm-hmm. the person's screaming, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, it's just that bad. let's get off the topic of
injuries.
Yeah, and switch over to a topic, like I said at the beginning of the show, I wanted to do for a while, the etiquette surrounding a friend getting married during football season. We will give you our thoughts. That's coming up next on Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels, presented and built by Dreamfinders Homes. I can see Fat Tony in the producer room right now, the control room, just dancing away. I know you guys don't have the advantage of the camera right in front of you, or the TV right in front of you with the camera.
I thought you were going to say we don't have the advantage of Fat Tony's dancing skills.
Oh, that's of course what I was going to say.
Yeah, clearly, you've never seen my dancing skills.
You know, actually, no. I've never seen either of you dance. I've never either
really
seen
dance.
Either of you run either.
I don't run.
That's why you refuse to do that.
I only run if I'm being chased.
Well, there's that Joan Rivers quote that she's famous for saying. She's like, the minute I see a person running and smiling, I'll consider it.
Yeah.
You know, there's pictures from when I did that Stadium 5K where I was smiling. But that's because
camera.
I knew the cameras were coming up.
Exactly.
Because you're on the video boards. You have to smile the whole time, right?
Yeah.
No.
No. All right. So one of my favorite things that just happened is, Blythe, you, when we first talked about this, as far as our topic of how to handle when someone that you love or at least you used to love until they tell you that they're getting married during football season, how you handle that. And you wrote an article, however you want to say it, Lauren, on guysreel.com years ago. And you put a little video clip in there, and you did it yourself, and you're still laughing at how funny you are, which I just think that's fantastic.
I do that sometimes. Like, if you forget that you wrote something, and you're like, wow, I actually am kind of funny sometimes.
I'll do that with some of my tweets. Yeah. I'll be back, and I'll laugh, and I'm like, wow, I'm pretty – why did I not get more favorites on this? Because this is brilliant.
Listen, sometimes when you're really awesome. Witty and you're the only one that appreciates it, you just – take that moment and embrace it.
I don't know what that's like.
Oh, sorry.
Just kidding. All right. So when it comes to those lovely wedding bells, you know, a friend gets engaged and the first thing that you want to ask is, you're not going to plan the wedding during football season, right? Like, actually the date. They can plan it during football season all they want as long as they don't ask you for that much help. But don't actually have the date during football season if you really do want people to be paying attention.
Correct.
I've been to weddings where literally everyone was around the TV. Mm-hmm. So there's no attention on the people that should be getting attention. Mm-hmm. And I've been to weddings where a lot of people didn't go because it was during football season. And I do have a cousin, a second cousin, that's getting married during football season this year, next month. And
how much do you love this second cousin?
Well, enough to...
To go to the wedding.
Yeah. And here's what I don't understand. And I love her, and no offense to her or anyone who gets married during football season. This is just my opinion. It's during Florida LSU. It's that weekend.
What?
And wait for it. And again, I'm not saying anything wrong.
No, that is everything wrong.
She and her future husband are Bull Gators and go to every home Florida game.
Wow.
And so, I mean, this one's at LSU and everything, but like, why would you do this to your guests? Like, I'm not going to be able to focus and pay attention. And now the wedding is on a Sunday. So technically, but then there's a rehearsal dinner on Saturday. And again, I'm not complaining, but it's just, it's going to be stressful.
Because with weddings, like, even if you're not in it, you still have to go through, you know, the rehearsal dinners, the engagement parties, the stock the bar parties, and whatever other parties that people want to have whenever they're going to get married. It's all of those things. And if you've set the date during football season, you're more than likely going to have to go to more than one event than the actual, like, wedding day.
Right. Precisely.
The only reason I find it to be okay is if you have never watched sports, you're not plugged in, and none of your family or friends are like, they don't care about football at all, then I'm like, okay, you know,
how's
what
that possible?
Well, in our world that's not possible, but believe it or not, there are some people in this world that couldn't tell you who Jim McElwain is.
Do you think they still listen to our show?
No. Which is why I don't care to offend them, because they are not listening. No. I have a huge problem with this, but it's because my life basically revolves around football, so I would never get married or have a child or do anything that I could control when a college football game is going on. And this happened to me last year. A friend got married during the Florida State-Virginia game, and it kind of was sad because I wanted to be at that wedding because I had friends there. I was with my boyfriend and his family, and it was fun, and I wanted to enjoy it, but we literally had like a cell phone propped up on a candle on the table watching. And then once dinner was over, we went out into the lobby where there was a TV, and there were like 25 of us around.
What game was it?
Florida State, Virginia. So it wasn't like huge, but it was an ACC game. And we wanted to watch it. It was during the season. It was last year, so we were really great. We still had Jameis Winston. You know, it was a big game. So I kind of felt bad because I wanted to enjoy both. And then I went to a wedding that they were Gator fans. And the bride, we went to the, when we got to the bar, some guy was like, oh, can you put the Gator game on, whatever? She said, the bride has requested that all TVs remain off. And we said, excuse me? What?
Of course she did, because here's this girl spending, or her parents are spending, thousands and thousands of dollars to get all this attention on herself.
Not my problem.
And now, like, she's not going to get the same type of attention.
But your husband is a Gator fan. He probably is pissed that he's at his own wedding instead of watching the game.
All of his buddies. Like,
right.
And that's the thing. People. Like, okay, so this is one of the things that I would say is a good compromise. So you could do it on a Friday, and then you're not missing anything. Again, you are going to have some parties.
The wedding on a Friday.
And you, I had friends that got married Friday at 10 a.m. during football season.
Wow.
So you're up early, but at the same time, you aren't missing college football. Right. And then they kind of scheduled their events. It was pretty early in football season, so they scheduled their events before that. So, like, there are ways to work around it. But
you know how else you can work around it? There are seven other months in the year, okay?
Well, I know there's people who, like, have always, you know, dreamed of that, like, fall leaves changing wedding.
I know, I get it.
Which you're not going to get in Florida anyway, but regardless, I do have a problem when a woman, I think, almost tests the guy by saying, like, I want to get married in football season. Like, how much do you love me? Are you willing to sacrifice a game day, weekend, what have you?
It's only going to get worse for
you. Yeah.
It's only going to get worse.
Say no. Just run while you can.
I was in a business meeting this morning, and one of the guys mentioned how his main team's Auburn, but he also watches Alabama, and then he went to Troy. So he's got, you know, a few different teams that he likes to watch. And he said his wife, poor thing, hates football. Like, it is torture for her from September to December. And so I was like, so how do you, you know, work that out? Does she just, like, go do her own thing, go shopping? Because I've heard of that before a lot. Like, some people, it's the expensive season because
go spend my money so I can watch this game.
Exactly. It's like, dang, that's a lot
widows,
of shopping.
Right? Is that what they're called?
Oh,
my God.
Football widows.
Oh, geez. That's
serious?
A terrible word to use.
Wow.
Oh, but so, yeah, I mean, you would think that some women would love it because it's like, oh, I get to go do my own thing, beach day or girls day, shopping, what have you. And he said that, like, that's not really her thing. So he agrees to only watch those games. But the moment she goes to bed, he's like, then I can change it on whatever West Coast games I want that we haven't exactly agreed to. So I thought it was hilarious. And
that's terrible.
Yeah. And I saw that Chad's wife, Christy, Chad's our assistant program director here at the station, and his wife, Christy, is a huge college football fan. Mm-hmm. And she had tweeted something out about that last week. Like, you know, are there couples out there where if your spouse doesn't like college football, what do you do? And a lot of people's responses were like, yeah, you don't marry that person. And for Christy, of course, she's already married to Chad, and he watches, but he's not the diehard
like
that she
into
is.
It,
yeah. And so some people, I think the way to start off is, like, you know, go to a game together and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. Not just watch it at home, like, if she or he isn't really into college football or professional football.
Because football is not just X's and O's. It's an entire culture.
Right. Yeah, it's a subculture in and of itself. Right. You've got, like, we were talking about, what you're going to wear. You have been thinking about that for months. The first game is going to be this year's big debut. And not to put any added pressure on you, but then also next Tuesday we have to, you know, show off our typical game day attire, which if any one of the four of us, and I'm not going to judge you if you do, but if any one of the four of us wears heels part of our game day attire, I'm going to laugh. Are you going to wear heels?
I didn't know that we were wearing game day attire.
On the
chat.
When we join the chat.
Outfit planned out, but it definitely involves heels.
Okay. Yeah, we're showing off what we would wear on a game day.
Oh, okay. I can do that. Okay.
Well then.
I'm glad we talked about this.
Yeah.
it's a whole week. It's a whole week.
I think to make women more involved in football for husbands that maybe feel challenged in this area. I think most women like to be social. And so if you turn it into, like, hey, wear our team colors, like, we're going to go to a friend's house and, like, he'll be plopped on the couch watching the TV, but she can be socializing and eating and drinking, and that doesn't sound terrible to me. Like, if I didn't watch football, that would be, like, I would enjoy that.
But I do get, so there is a Seahawks fan that created this contract to where if you're going to watch the game at his house, you have to agree that, you know, you're going to play by his rules, basically.
Right.
And I totally understand where he's coming from. If it's an away party and you go to someone's house and, like, half the people or more there are not interested in the game, then it does become just a bunch of chit-chat and you can't hear the commentators.
It's like a Super Bowl watch party. There's a difference between watching your team play and, like, a Super Bowl watch party. Big difference.
Right. Big difference, yeah. And I totally understand, like, growing up, if my mom and I ever talked during a Florida game, you know, like, if we're up by a lot, my dad would be like, ladies, you know, like,
leave the room.
Focus. Right. And he'd always say, either I'm going in another room or you guys can go in another room. Like, get it together.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's got headphones that he can wear. It's really cute. They're wireless headphones. And so he can just be jamming, you know, out by himself, listening to everything. And he's also
That's
the person,
awesome.
Too. I know. And I kind of am becoming this person to where when you go to the game live, you want to have your own radio to be able to listen to the game call, because you don't always necessarily, and this is
Can't
before Twitter,
it.
But you couldn't necessarily get the injury updates or some of the other updates that exist. And I don't even know. I haven't been. I feel like I haven't been on Twitter at the Swamp yet, so I don't know if Twitter will work with that, many,
say,
so much that many people.
The what Twitter?
Football and Twitter. Like, it's so much fun. Like, people talk about, like, going out.
Do you
out
tweet
to, like,
in the stadium?
I have limited
I feel like you
service
can't.
At the stadium, so it hinders me, which is a good thing as of late.
Right.
Because
Absolutely.
I will curse a lot.
We don't want
We have to take Blythe's phone away. All right, so we have Joseph on the line, and Joseph, as a newlywed, he and his wife just went to their first Gator game, I assume over the weekend. So let's check in with Joseph. Hi, Joseph.
Hey, how's it going? It actually wasn't over the weekend. It was a couple years ago.
Okay.
But a girl I dated for a while, she, you know, I took her to games and all that stuff, and I would always just have an awful time with her, and and she would always, she'd always figure out a way to make it a not, you know, not so great a time. But so I started dating my wife now, and she had never been to a Gator game. Her family grew up as Notre Dame fans, and I was like, well, hell with that. You know,
South Bend's a little far away.
If this is going to work out, you know, this is what's going to have to happen. So I take her to her first Gator game. It was Florida LSU, and it was, it was a couple of years ago, back when, you know, the Driscoll year where we were actually good. And I think it was a top 10 matchup, and it was just a great time, and we had a great time. She met, you know, some of my family that goes to all the games. And from that moment on, she's just a diehard Gator fan and loves, I mean, college and NFL sports. And growing up, I never really thought, because I was such a diehard, I was like, I'll never, you know, I probably don't even want a wife or a girlfriend that does, you know, is so into sports like that. But it's great. Yeah, she doesn't, you know every player like I do or the stats like I do, but she matches me, if not exceeds my excitement and stuff like that when we're watching the games or just around other people talking about it, just the smack talk that she'll throw out there. It's great. I love it. So
I have a very important question.
Yeah.
What month did y'all get married in?
Absolutely. We got married on Cinco de Mayo because
of that. Okay.
Now that's a party.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So never, ever, if someone, and I've told all my friends this, if you want to do that, you have, like the manager said, 7 other months that you can get married. And if you want to do this, I'm pretty sure it's intentional when people get married in college football season.
Yeah, they're testing your friendship is what they're doing.
Yeah, there's no other reason to do it. So, you know, so it's like, well, if you want me to come there, you know, don't schedule it that. If especially if I'm an integral part of that wedding.
That's,
you know,
the kicker.
Don't do that. If I'm just a guest, then guess what? I'm not showing up anyways.
Awesome. Well,
yeah,
Joseph, to your wife, I'm so glad that she became part of the world's greatest college football fan base on the face of the planet. I have
Absolutely.
These two choking now.
All right, go Gators.
Go Gators is right. Thanks so much for listening, Joseph. And I love that,
Sometimes
though.
That's all it takes. You bring them to a game and you show them what it's like. Blythe says no.
I had an ex.
Oh.
I love these stories.
He liked football, but he hated going to the games. Hated it.
What?
And he would sit
off. But had he been to a game before?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Plenty. I tried to, because I've been a season ticket holder for years.
Right.
So I would try to get him to come along with us to the games. And when he would go, he would sit off to the side and, like, not play any games, not, you know, partake in the food or the, you know, the drinking, the, you know, socialize with other people. He always had a headache or something. I feel like it was really like a role reversal in that regard. I just stopped bringing him. I had a much better time without him. So,
yeah.
I mean, obviously the relationship didn't last. Maybe it was for a good thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
You have to have at least a shared passion, I think, in stuff like that. Or you do have to be able to completely, like, do your own thing and not care at all how long the person's gone. Because an NFL Sunday is going to take at least 10 hours out of your day.
But it's also at the same time, like, if you're so passionate about it, and I know couples do it and that's awesome, but me personally, I really can't imagine being with someone that doesn't even just like football. Like, loving whatever I could deal with, but just, like, liking it. Like, I don't know if I could do that.
I don't know. He gave me an ultimatum one time. He said, pick the Jaguars
or
me.
What?
Took my cooler and walked right out the door.
Oh, my gosh.
I cannot
believe that. No man should ever separate you from football. That is rule number one.
I was like, just because if you don't want to go to the game, that's your thing. But don't take away my thing.
Yeah.
So. Absolutely. All right. So we're going to sneak one more call in here. John did have a wedding during football season. So, John, tell us how awful it was. Just kidding.
Hi, ladies. What a great topic tonight.
Thanks.
I wanted to share a story. My college roommate is a Ohio State fan, and he got married because his wife forced him to. His wife now forced him to during football season, and the entire pre-ceremony, we had a little TV back where all the groomsmen were getting married, and everybody was huddled around it, and her mother was named the No Fun Police. Because she kept coming around and getting everybody from the TV and doing what we were supposed to be doing. So,
wow.
That was my lesson. I would never consider getting married then, but your topic tonight.
Do you know why she made him do that? Was it because she liked the time of year, or she really didn't want him to watch that game?
Well, in Ohio, in the fall, it's a beautiful time of year, and the trees are changing and things of that nature. I get it, but you come on, you're just going to get married during football season. I agree with you guys there. So just wanted to share that with you.
Thanks, John. That's perfect. The No Fun Police. What a great way to start your mother-in-law hood off.
Dude, you guys think that there's any life event that's worth missing for football season?
Oh, gosh. I mean,
a birth?
That's probably what I would go with, too.
Only if it's your own.
Because I have a
your own birth?
No, I mean, like, if you are giving birth. But, like, if someone else is giving birth, I'll be like, I'll see you after the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was just going to say, I have a girlfriend who she was bringing up when she's going to have her baby shower. And I gave her the look, and she's like, it's not on Sunday.
Oh.
And I was like, what Saturday is it on? She's like, October 3rd. And I was like, are there any big games that day? She's like, I don't know.
Yeah,
she's probably going to have a TV on or two.
There you go.
But a baby shower is different. You can have a TV on. That's not a big deal.
When Caitlin, my cousin, had her bridal shower, we had the NFL draft on in the background. And I'm not kidding. We were watching it. But, all right, we'll be back with some more hot topics. You are listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Finders Homes on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
This is a man's world. This is a man's world. But
girls just want to talk football. More Helmets and Heels, now on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Thank you to everyone who has been weighing in on this topic, both via the phone lines like Joseph and John did, and also via the Boston Sports Bar and Restaurant text line. We have a wedding DJ who said those are his least favorite weddings to do, the ones during football season. And that, I mean, whereas if you're a guest at the wedding, yes, you can kind of sneak away, look at your phone, at least get updates from ESPN or your friends texting you. But if you're a DJ, you're a little busy. I don't know that you can really take all the friends of the bride's mom's requests from the 60s and watch football.
Say it's Florida LSU.
All right.
You have to be. It's your cousin's wedding.
Right.
You have to be there.
Yeah.
And there's a TV on with the game on.
Yeah.
Someone comes up to you and tells you, don't watch the TV. You have to attend to the wedding. What's your first reaction?
How many drinks has she had?
Well, I'm not. First. Fortunately, like I said, for this one, they are Gator fans. So I have a feeling that at least will be incorporated.
Yeah.
And I understand how lots of people would have taken your question by, like, is there anything, you know, not, or is there anything worth missing college football for? Is there anything that's like something that's not avoidable?
Like a life event.
Yeah. I mean, yes, if it comes down to it, if I was having a child, you know, and let's say I wasn't able to plan exactly when it was.
But we have the technology. Reduce the labor early.
induce it
not
in September.
That early.
You might not do until November.
No, induce it on a Friday so you can be fully aware and watch
sure,
the games
that's
over
true.
The weekend.
Yeah, and so one funny story, and it's not really a funny story, but it's a story I always tell when this topic comes up. I have a really good girlfriend who y'all have met. She's attended lots of Helmets and Heels Built by Dreamfinders Homes shows that we do live on location. Her husband actually, the first year that Florida played Texas A&M, the first year that the Aggies were in the SEC, she was pregnant with twins and told him, you know, yeah, you can go, but I mean, this is kind of a precarious situation. I could go into labor at any time. It was a work trip. So he's like, oh, she'll be fine. So he flies to Texas. She goes into labor Friday night.
Oh, that'd be my worst fear.
Yeah. So she drove herself to the hospital, delivered the babies. He flew, missed the game, took the red eye, flew back in town on Saturday, but obviously missed the birth
and
missed
the game,
right? Like, that's the other thing. Like, if I was her, I'd have been like, stay.
Right.
You don't need to come home ever. No, I'm just kidding. But so there are just so many different things that, yeah, you do want to be kind of cognizant of what's going on in the world of college football or professional football when you are making these plans, if they are ones that you can schedule around.
Well, I think it was earlier in the year that a Mets pitcher caught some flack for missing a few days.
It was last year, and it's Daniel Murphy.
He missed a few games for the, he did, with the birth of his child.
Yes.
And he caught a lot of flack for that. And
he
that kind of
did.
Like made me like, all right, well, maybe he has that right to do that.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that
he totally has that right.
As long as it's your firstborn. I mean, after that, you've already been there, done that. So I'm just kidding. It's a joke. All right.
Gosh, I've gotten so many responses on Twitter to this.
Do you want to read any of them before we do our update?
Yeah, so I have one from Matt Baker. He works for the Tampa Bay Times. He said his wedding was on December 10th, so it was after the football regular season and before the bowls. Okay. So it was like a winter wedding.
Okay.
But there weren't any games.
Okay. So yeah, and
pretty
when
smart.
I think
that's accommodating.
Yeah, yeah, I think that when we say season, we'd certainly mean like on game
days. I do
mean
during a game, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
And my point is always when this topic comes up, like, you can be as conscientious as you want to be as far as when you pick it on a game day.
Right.
But there's always going to be someone who's not just the Florida State, Georgia
right.
fans.
Well, that's the thing. Some people are like, oh, yeah, just pick a bye week.
Exactly.
And I'm like, my bye week is not the same as your bye week.
100% correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, have TVs on during the wedding.
But it still takes away.
Who cares?
Away.
One of my other favorite things that I saw when you're at Florida, Georgia, they got married over the summer, and then they did their actual reception at Florida, Georgia.
What?
It was awesome. They had, like, big posters, you know, of them, just like you'd see, like, the big printed pictures at a wedding reception. They had, like, a chandelier. They had a full bar set up.
What was it, like,
they
in
had
a suite
rented
or something?
Portalettes. No, it was in the parking lot. Lot J.
Oh. That's
yeah, with, like, tents. I know. It was honestly amazing, because then not just are your family and friends able to celebrate all before Florida, Georgia, but also all these random people
yeah,
are walking
technically
by,
anyone
like,
can come.
Yeah, they're like, oh my gosh, you guys just got married. And, you know, so everyone's participating in the fun. I thought that was fantastic. I think they did like a little island getaway. So it was just like close friends and family
okay.
when they did it in the Caribbean. And then they had their like reception
that's
at Florida.
That's
Georgia.
Awesome.
That's what I thought. I was like, I mean, I understand that not, I don't know, some family members may not appreciate that. Like some older family members may
right.
not want to do that.
Okay.
But right, like it's your day or your several days, however you want to do it. All right, let's get to the injury update brought to you by Farrah and Farrah.
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
So Jason Pierre-Paul had an unfortunate incident, Giants defensive end, over the summer, where he ended up removing some of his fingers after, what was it, 4th of July, I believe.
Yeah.
And some fireworks incident. So, today he shows up for the first time, and they look at his unfortunate hand and decide that he's not able to not only not sign his contract, but not play. So, Jason Pierre-Paul went back to Florida today, no contract signed.
That sucks.
If you're a Giants fan, and I know Tony, who's getting ready for his draft here momentarily, hanging out with us right now. If you're a Giants fan, don't you just want to throttle him? Like, literally just choke him? Not to the point of death, of course, but just to the point where he cries uncle, maybe?
So, fireworks cost him millions of dollars.
Yes.
Millions
and fingers. Of dollars. I mean, I don't know which is more important over the course of your life, but, and he's so young too, 26. But, and then one.
Is he ever going to play
said,
again?
Well, one source said, would he be on a football field soon? And the source said, I would doubt it. So not necessarily anytime soon. I'm sure that he'll get to play again.
Well, I heard but, if you the fingers that he lost was about like you lose like 30% of your hand's function with the fingers
really?
That he lost.
What did he lose? Do you remember?
I think it was
pointer
it was,
and middle.
Yeah, or these the middle and the,
and
ring,
the
finger.
Ring finger.
So ball security is going to be a little bit of an issue.
Yeah,
seriously.
Unless he wears a glove, a special glove that like puts. Like a couple knuckles on top. I'm not trying to make
prosthetic.
This funny.
You can get like a 3D
like a
printed
glove.
Prosthetic.
Yeah, like a glove prosthetic, but like only for those two fingers so that it helps grasp. I don't know.
Stick them?
His right index finger was amputated.
But stick them on.
By the way, can you imagine any more pain than knowing you're going into surgery to have something removed? Ooh.
Well, prosthetics have come such a long way, especially with 3D printed. You know, they can make them very cost effective now.
You know that they made an ear with a 3D printer?
It's fascinating.
That blows
all the things that they can
my
make
mind.
With 3D
they
printers.
Say they're 10 years away from printing a heart.
I
wow.
believe it.
Isn't that crazy?
Separate from that, they've printed houses. It's
I don't understand that.
A
that's
lot of
wild.
The story, there was a girl recently, like a 7 or 8 year old girl, who threw out the first pitch. I think it was at the Giants game, and she had a prosthetic hand. And so they had shown a video of when she first got her prosthetic hand and like using it for the first time because she wouldn't have been able to afford it. You know, the thousands and thousands of dollars for a legitimate prosthetic. So a 3D one was printed for her for about $70, which is significant difference, especially for a lot of families who. Probably wouldn't
yeah.
be able to afford
wow.
something like that. But she got to throw out the first pitch, which I thought was great.
I love that.
Aww, for her.
That is cool.
All right. So, Blythe, one of the hot topics that we wanted to talk a tiny bit about was Jen Welter, most recently an intern with the Cardinals, now is going to join Floyd Mayweather's entourage. Why is she going? I mean, I understand he asked her and she responded on Twitter that she would do it. But
why did he ask
why,
her?
Yeah, why? I don't understand.
And money. She's got to make money. I mean, no other teams have hired her, so I don't. I mean, I'm not faulting her for that, but I think other people want to take up the cause, especially like we talked about this during the break. Michelle Beadle sort of inserted her name into all of this and insinuated that Jen Welter shouldn't have taken the job because of Floyd Mayweather's history with domestic violence.
Exactly.
I mean, what hill are you going to choose to die on? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like at the end of the day, you have to have a job. You have to earn a living. If someone's going to pay you a significant amount of money, we don't know how much she's going to get paid or what she's going to be doing in what capacity. She's still got to earn a living.
They made it seem like in the article I read that she's just like walking out with him at this fight. And that's really all. So to me, that's just like her being recognized for being like a really cool figure in the sports world recently that people know. To me, that's not like a job.
Is he like propping her? I don't understand why him and his team reached out to her specifically.
Unless maybe she's gonna fight Ronda Rousey on his behalf.
She'd lose.
Because you know that those two hate each other. Rousey and Mayweather.
No.
I mean, Jen Welter kind of looks like she could fight someone.
Oh, she totally could. She's played football.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
She totally could.
That is very true. All right.
Her approach was cool, though. Sorry to interrupt. Did you see her approach to it? Like her response tweets? I kind of liked that she took that approach. She kind of was like, hey, instead of judging someone based on what we know about him, like I'm going to take the route of getting to know him as an individual, which is very professional of her to do. But you also have to be a little realistic because it's not like we think he hits women. Like we know that this happened. So I'm not saying she's going to put herself in a dangerous situation, but you just have to be a little bit careful.
Yeah, maybe she thinks she can help him.
She said, I consider it a step in the right direction
right.
that he reached out to a strong, educated woman.
Yeah. So I think that she's going to use that psychology kind of background that she has with him.
Cool.
Well, we'll see what goes down in the ring with Mayweather. I would hit him in the face if I could. Just to take a stand, but whatever.
Be able to run
and maybe
he'll never invite you to be a part of his entourage.
No, he will not. and I'm happy about that. All right, coming up next, we are going to get to some Jags talk. I know Blythe is excited, and Amanda is not a fan, so her opinion will be completely unbiased.
Uh-oh.
So it will be interesting to see what she has to say. That's all coming up next on Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Oh, yeah. Can't get enough of Jaguars this time of year. For everyone who decided just to skip the preseason because, I mean, it is just the preseason, they get their first game on Sunday, 1 o'clock kick. Now, I read, and I hope I'm correct because I've told this to everyone I've talked to, I read that there's going to be a flyover.
Yes.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that I didn't dream that
Andrew
I read
Malloy
that tweet.
But
yes, yeah, he did. And so when I saw John, I second guessed myself because when I saw John Osier leaving earlier, I said, yeah, I'm excited about the flyover on Sunday. And he goes, oh, there's a flyover? And I was like, oh gosh, if you don't know that, then maybe I was dreaming it for real.
I think it's two F-15s that are going to be flying over, which is
awesome.
I think
that's what I read. Yeah, so. If you don't have tickets yet, of course, those can be found on Jaguars.com, I'm sure, /tickets. But before that event, by the way, tomorrow night, this has nothing to do with the Jaguars, but tomorrow night, North Florida Ospreys and men's soccer take on the UCF Knights, 7 p.m. game at Hodges Stadium. There will be lots of people, lots of fun, really good soccer played. So if you have no plans on a Wednesday night, and why would you? Come on out to that. And then on Thursday night, there is the Back to Football Bash with the Roar, Jackson DeVille. There's going to be live music, of course, drinks and food and all that fun stuff. So that is this Thursday. And Blythe, I know you're excited about that.
I'm really excited.
Yeah, before the game. So you have outfits. I mean, you have outfits to plan for Thursday night, for
Holy
Sunday
cow.
Night, for Tuesday
as well.
Do you
have enough teal for this week?
Do I?
Of course I do. I guess that was a silly question.
The girl owns as much teal as I own orange and blue and as you own garnet
and
gold.
Well, it's teal, yeah. It's black, it's gold,
right.
It's animal print. Like, there's a bunch of options.
That's very specific, you know, because I think the only thing teal I owned before I moved here was, like, a turquoise necklace. So, like, right now I'm counting turquoise as teal.
Yeah,
does that count?
It's borderline. It's acceptable.
Yeah, that counts.
I think it's acceptable.
So how long is it acceptable for a newbie like me?
No, I think at any time.
Oh, okay.
Anytime you can wear it.
I didn't know if you were giving me a time frame, like
it.
I need 6 months to purchase teal items.
It's always recommended to go for, like, the standard teal, like the Jaguars teal, but there's so many. I mean, as long as you're close to it, nobody's going to be like, no, that's not
with any
color.
Except for, like, if it's something, like, super ugly, like bright blue or bright orange. It's really hard to, like, match the colors.
Orange is an
awful
color.
Oh, it's so terrible.
It really is.
It's the worst color ever.
It is.
But even, like, being a Florida State fan, there are so many different
orange
shades.
Orange is happy.
There's so many shades of garnet. And so sometimes you're way off, like, it's red, and then other times it's way too purple. It's hard.
I think turquoise is okay. Where it gets, like, no, that's not acceptable is light blue. Like, turquoise.
Yeah, because that's like Panthers
right.
color.
So
yeah.
You can't do light blue or dark blue at all. It has to be turquoisey, teal-y.
It has to be like three
blue
or four
green.
Shades.
A
yeah.
blue green?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, look at that picture of Tony Baselli right behind you and the
yeah.
teal border. And
yeah.
that, it should be somewhat close to that.
Okay.
Now, I know there's aquas that are going to be a lot lighter.
Yeah.
People are like, you said you were going to talk about the Jags.
Well, we technically are.
About teal and Jaguar print people. I did at the gym tonight. There was someone that was like, can you please not talk about those girly situations?
What
that
girly
situations?
Helmets and heels.
Well, no, I know.
Oh,
but
that one topic was terrible.
Okay. Yeah, that's what he was asking
yeah.
us to avoid. I was like, don't worry.
No, we didn't.
No, I was like, don't worry. We won't be doing that at all. But
anyway.
So, yeah.
Battle
so,
red.
So, yeah, whatever you feel like wearing. Jags, Panthers on Sunday, 1 o'clock kick.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's going to be storylines for the Jags. You want to see the offensive line play as well as I think you've ever seen them play, or at least you've seen them play in the last few years. Blake Bortles to step it up. Defensively, you want to see the defensive front gel and put pressure on Cam Newton. But outside of all of those kind of typical storylines, which, you know, we talk about on 1010 XL all day, what are you ladies specifically looking for? Just whether it's a player, whether it's a certain play, what do you want to see executed on Sunday?
Well, there are some injuries on the team on both sides of the ball, so there are a few question marks. I've actually been watching a video on Julius Thomas shop for his new home. That's a completely different story, but Julius Thomas will not be playing in week one, which is such a bummer because I really think that he's the best player on the team. And so to not be able to see him against the Panthers is huge. But there are other tight ends that will step up, like Mercedes Lewis, and even Clay Harbor has had a pretty good preseason. I think people will still be watching Blake Bortles because even if you saw him in the preseason or heard how great he played in the preseason, you still wonder, like, is that the real him? Like, will he still do that in the regular season? He should. There is no reason why he'll just all of a sudden flop and not do well. But there's still that little bit of, hopefully this will translate into the regular season. But that's not, like, the hot topic, top storyline for me. I think that the pass rush is a huge, huge thing with Andre Branch out. I don't really know what Chris Clemens can do. I obviously wasn't here last year, and he hasn't practiced. I haven't really been able to see him practice. And there's Chris Smith and Ryan Davis. So it's just question marks. Can they perform? Yeah, absolutely. Can other players step up that we haven't talked about? I sure hope so. There are just some question marks.
Okay.
I think the Panthers open up as a 2.5 favorite.
Yes.
Against us. So that's kind of about where I would expect it. The only things I'm going to be watching is, like Amanda said, the pass rush. I would say with Bortles, too, seeing him play full four quarters of football, is he going to keep pressing? I thought that he was pressing a little bit for touchdowns, which I'd like to see, but you also, that puts you in a bad position for turnovers. I'd also like to see the run battle. I thought Denard had a better preseason than Yeldon, so I was a little surprised to see that Yeldon was the starter. I know that they drafted him with the idea of him being the starter, but I thought Denard has gone above and beyond, putting on weight and playing phenomenally during the preseason, that I think he'll actually outplay Yeldon.
Are you looking to see a Jason Myers field goal from over 50 yards so everyone can get Firehouse?
Well, yeah, if I'm speaking for the people, absolutely.
For the people. Yeah. Feed the people.
Want me some Firehouse.
But that really is a storyline in my book.
It is.
Is how is he going to perform under pressure?
Right,
there wasn't that much pressure in the fourth preseason game, and this is a whole different animal. I mean, especially, let's say it's tied 7-7 with 3 minutes left, and, you know, they trot out and he has to make the field goal, and you know, there are certain, I don't know, trepidations that I have when it comes to what we've seen versus what we will see. Mm-hmm. And I hate to take really anything that we've seen in the preseason and think that we're going to be able to apply it.
Right.
Have players
right.
looked better than last year? Absolutely. But is there going to be such a massive difference between when it's for real? Yes. And that's kind of the, like you said, you want to see Blake do well. But really, how are they going to do against, like, an extremely good linebacker in Luke Kuechly? And, you know, like, that's what I want to see. When that person is, just like our, you know, linebackers will be Paul Lesney and Dan Skinner and Tomlin Smith will be trying to tear people's heads off, how do we play when it is really that intense, that much more intense?
That's important. And now it really matters. Which, it's not that it's...
Makes me nervous just right now thinking about
that's
it.
That's what I mean.
Like, how invested we are and how much it's going to literally, like, rip people's hearts out if we don't win.
I tell people all the time that I'm so glad we do our shows on Tuesdays and not, like, on Sundays or Mondays, because the tone would definitely take a different turn.
Well, in producing last year for Jaguars Today, those Mondays, you know, we'd all kind of talk to each other because they're down at Everbank. And it's always like, hey, how was your weekend? Like, after a loss. And it was 1,000 times different after we'd win. It was called, like, Victory Monday. And then we just decided to do it for the entire week. Victory Tuesday, Victory Wednesday. Because it was so few and far between. Like, we needed to inject some happiness.
Yeah.
Because literally, I mean, you pick up the phone and it's, like, I say first thing Monday morning. I mean, 10 a.m. Monday morning. And all you've got is, like, these people who are so downtrodden, you know? Like, they've spent their lives wanting this team to be good. And if they weren't around when they were, then they're just so devastated. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing I can say to console them. There's nothing Mike and Tony can say to console them. It's like, yeah, we were terrible. And it's not going to get any better. And yes, you're going to keep going to the games. But this year, I think there's a whole different feeling.
There's hope.
There's
That's what the offseason does to you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It is. But I think there's I don't know. I was thinking about it today. I remember, I can specifically recall certain things John Osher said last year when he did kind of the same segments mm-hmm. on Frank's show. And he, you could tell in his voice last year that, like, he didn't have hope in certain position groups. And this year, I don't think there's any position group that he can't find at least someone to be excited about. And that, to me, it speaks volumes because this person has covered the Jags so closely for so long, right. but also he's covered other teams. So he does have a good frame of reference. So, all right, ladies, let's do it. Score predictions for Sunday. Yep.
I'm going for a Jags win. I'll say 2017. Sweet.
2017 Blythe. Amanda, I should probably be keeping track of this.
Yeah, are we keeping track of this? Because we conveniently stopped keeping track last year when I was running away with it.
Yeah, we didn't. I don't think that was my fault. So,
convenient.
Yeah, I'm going to say that since you're so confident, you're going to be in charge of keeping track. So 2017 so says you and Amanda.
I think it will be very close, and I think it will be 17-14. Jags.
Okay. You guys are both going with more of a defensive battle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see that. So I'm going to pick for what I want and also what I think. I think it'll be slow kind of scoring in the first half, and then I think both teams will pick it up in the second half. So I'll go 31-27 Jags. Love but we're all picking the Jags.
Yeah.
Are you writing these down?
No.
I thought you were confident. Maybe now she's getting
no,
less confident.
No, I'm confident.
But we've had this conversation before where what you want and what you think are two exactly. different things.
Yeah. I really honestly think that the Jags will win. I don't know that we'll score 31 points, but that is what I want.
That's
so
what
I'm combining.
You want.
Heck yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. All right. Yeah. Coming up next, we will check in with Fat Tony, who is probably only going to be half paying attention to us because he's doing a fantasy football draft right now, and he's super excited about it. That is coming up next on 1010XL on 92.5 FM.
I just want to see you shine. Girl, you're tearing that dance floor up. Let me see you do it in the bed of my truck. You sure know how to shake it all right. Let me see you do it in the Tennessee moonlight.
Jaguars football by women, for women, and men. Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
So I'm doing all of you a favor and not singing out loud to Cole Swindell.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
That makes me so happy. Hearing, like, football season starting, country music, like, the fair's coming soon.
Tailgate time.
Boots and bonfires.
I just want scarf weather. In the fall, you'll
what
never
you
see me without a scarf. Why did that surprise you?
I don't know. You're right. I know you way too well now to be surprised by
that. I love scarves.
Of course you do.
What's wrong with scarves?
You knit them yourself.
What? No. They're like fashion scarves. They're not like knitted by my grandmother, although that'd be cool.
Yeah, no. I didn't just see you like on a Saturday night with college football and being like, guys, knitting party.
No, I've never knitted in my entire life. I don't know how to knit.
Oh, I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised. That's all. Hi, Tony.
What's wrong with knitting?
Nothing's wrong with knitting. Do you know how to knit?
In your spare time?
No. No, I don't.
I have knitted before. I knitted it, in college. One of my roommates was like, let's do a knitting class. And I was like, absolutely not. And so she did it. And then she came home with all the stuff. And she's like, I can teach you. And we were like sitting around literally, I think, watching football. And I was like, this is what my life is going to do.
Oh, wow.
How many scarves do you own?
Less than 10.
Okay.
But so around 10.
We got you beat.
So I need more.
At my place, we got you beat in scarves. We,
soccer scarves.
It's a complete bachelor
pad. But I'm not talking about those scarves.
We walk in. You walk into our place. There's a big knight, like a 5-foot standing knight that we have decorated in, like, beads and Jaguar gear and stuff. You have a Jaguars pennant, a Gators 2006 National Championship pennant, because my roommate's a big Gator. But in the living room, we probably have 30 soccer scarves on the wall.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we're big into the soccer scarves. I want to get a bunch of mini scarves and put them on a bunch of TV. They're really cool.
They are. I really like the Armada scarf. I think that's one of my favorite scarves that I've seen in a long time. Just their color scheme is really cool.
Do you have one?
Scarf? There's a scarf right there.
Oh, you should get one.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, USA. That's a Jacksonville Suns scarf along with USA. Which, maybe. By the way, I tried to go to the Suns game Friday night and got completely rained out. So,
shout out to Peter Bragan and the Bragans themselves. Yeah. Great run as owners.
Absolutely. And it was so sad to me that the last game ended up with getting called early. That's not the way it's supposed to happen. I feel like this has been the worst weather, like, fall we've had. Like I had told you, Amanda, I covered Kenny last year. And one of our games, yes, had issues with the weather and it got canceled, but every other game was perfectly fine. So I don't understand why
everyone I've talked to there has
been delayed.
So many people are like, I've worked here for 8+ years. Mm-hmm. And like, we've never had a game canceled. And I'm like, well, this is my third week and I've never worked before.
Well, they're saying the El Nino this year is supposed to be stronger than ever.
Huh.
So that will affect our weather in the long run.
I don't like it. Tony, how are you doing on your draft?
I'm good. I'm 2 picks away.
From being done?
No.
Oh, you're 2 picks away. Okay.
I'm in the seventh round.
So you're saying in about a minute for us to talk amongst ourselves until you make your selection.
No, we got about an hour. I know where I'm going right now unless someone snakes me like you did.
Well.
Got him.
All right.
Got my guy, John Brown.
Nice. I kind of had a feeling that you may have wanted Jordan Matthews last night. And I said, ha,
you know,
gotcha.
When you're a Vandy fan. There's two of them.
Few and far
there.
Between.
Right. I can go get Jordan Matthews or I can settle for Jay Cutler as my quarterback. Those are pretty much the options I have. And you took Jordan Matthews for me. It was one pick before me, too.
Mike called me today and he was like, were you happy with your team? And I was like, I was just happy that draft was so freaking fast.
Oh, I know.